Let us pray. God of light, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. And our scripture reading for today is from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when we saw him, he passed on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." So ends the reading.
Dear Lord, may the words from my mouth and the meditation from my heart be pleasing to you, O God. Bless all who listen today with open ears, open minds, and open hearts. Amen. All right. Well, as I opened up with sharing who I am and your pastor, Rob, inviting me here, I also want to thank Superintendent Stacy Current and my current pastor, Kelly O'Connor, for setting the course for me to be able to serve you today. And so many other pastors that I worshiped under and served under and got guidance from, Skylar Rhodes and Anthony Jenkins and so many others, give me this opportunity that it's really heartwarming and encouraging to have the support that they have in me to share with you. And so with that, I'm reminded of a small story that I heard when I got my very first assignment as a pulpit supply. And it was set in a really small town further north in, here in California, way in the back country. It was basically just a 3-building town. They had city hall, a hardware store, and a church. And one day the famine hit, and so they were just invaded by squirrels throughout the whole town. And everybody was perplexed. How are we going to get rid of these squirrels? So the mayor of City Hall said, "I know what. We have SPCA. We have a whole bunch of feral cats. We'll just release them and chase them out." So that did take place. The squirrels left. But the cats really just tore up everything, all the papers, used every corner they could to make their mark, if you know what I mean. And that just didn't work out. So the owner of the hardware store said, "I think I could have a more humane way of doing that." And he actually went to the SPCA and actually had some very soft but humane traps for the squirrels. And he caught most of them and released them about 3 miles out of town. But because the famine was so bad, they found nowhere else to feed, and they found their way back into the hardware store and tore everything up looking for food. So they were in. So the church said, "What are we gonna do?" They had church council meeting. I know you guys know what that is. And they just determined There's nothing we can really do except pray and make them members. And so with that, they really solved the problem because now they only see squirrels on Christmas and Easter. Now, the moral of that story is, if you go too long with sermonizing, people will get squirrely and leave. So that will not be the case with me with you today. The story of the Good Samaritan is one that a lot of us have heard repeatedly and from a lot of different angles and perspectives. And I really was struggling to find if there was going to be something new under the sun that I would be able to share with you today. And I have to say that there may not be any new insight that I will give you, but perhaps a different insight. And because different people or different theologians have broken it down from all the different verses, and one of them it simply is, why is a lawyer asking questions of Jesus? And we know, you know, lawyers on one side can be very intelligent and necessary parts of society, and on another hand, equally despised. I have to say that because my sister is a lawyer, and I always say, you have the degree, I have the title and being the best debater. So that settles things. But that being said, the lawyer asking these questions really becomes kind of like the outside of the shell to get to the meat of the story. And in the meat of the story, we want to know, or we learn from Jesus to unveil to us the key question. Who is our neighbor? Oh, and I guess I'm kind of remiss something I should have mentioned, because now I look at the program, I didn't get the title in time. So this title is called, Who is Our Neighbor? Because love is in plain sight. So you'll hear that throughout today's sermon. When we wrestle with who is our neighbor, and we hear Jesus give us this parable about the Good Samaritan, and it is someone who cares for people who are in need. Don't tell Rob I destroyed your church. with people who are in need and who give of themselves and their resources in the moment with no hesitation, with no reverberation, no prejudgment of who that person is that you're serving and who you are. As we've heard before, that Samaritans were not looked upon kindly in society at that time. And certainly for a Levite, a rabbi, and a priest to pass this person, no one cast any judgment on them. But to say that a Samaritan would help you really had a lot of deep philosophical and social implications. And so when Jesus tells this story, particularly to a lawyer who is looking for points of contention, it really tells us to look from the inside out and not from the outside in. From the inside out helps us to see that love is always before us in plain sight. The opportunity to connect with us is always in plain sight. We live in a society today where violence and despair and war and turmoil are broadcast to us 24/7. And I can remember an era where I grew up, it was like only for the 6 o'clock news. You can get it 24/7 and there's some in more than three dimensions if you want. And so when we find that this turmoil that comes about, that faces us in plain sight, we wonder, is God going to appear to us in the same manner? Will God give us the compassion, the wisdom, and most importantly, the commitment to show that our love is sufficient to meet the moment? This story is one for each and every one of us to realize there are no others out there. The Good Samaritan story was one that the lawyer was trying to point out, is this person really worthy of being my neighbor? And it's interesting when we hear Jesus' reply, using a Samaritan to bring out that point. Because it's very easy, and even in today's time, where we see that there's so much distressful disagreements that become hateful, that we can still see that there is love that God gives us to share with others. And so that there is no us and them, or the other side, and we want to say the right side, right? There's a way that we can all be connected when we see through the lens of love being in plain sight. And so where does that really take us from this story to our lives? And I have to share with you that one of the things that really came about for me was, in researching this, a unlikely inspirational story and insight. So by a show of hands, how many of you are at least seen the show The Bachelor? Oh, no one wants to admit that interest. Okay, I'll say that. If you're not familiar with this, this is one of those shows that has taken over now reality TV, and it's basically a very intense dating program. They choose the bachelor, a gentleman, and he goes through a whole dating process with different ladies that the show chooses for him. And there was a guy by the name of Ben Higgins who participated one time. And I just heard in some off manner chatter in my office one day, people talking about The Bachelor, but everybody there was really mesmerized with this guy named Ben Higgins. And so I was a little curious, because I'm really not into, one, The Bachelor's not coming for me, but that's a whole nother story. But I'm not tied up into where the consumer aspect of reality TV is going. But these are people who I knew who really talked about it in a very unusual manner. And it turns out that Ben Higgins was a contestant who spoke about his faith in a very real and authentic way as a bachelor candidate. And it wasn't so much that he was proselytizing or preaching to anybody who he dated. He didn't make this part of his test list. But if anybody asked him what was important to him in his life, what were his values, he shared how he had moments of loneliness, of despair, of times when he didn't feel worthy, and God helped him through that. But what makes this really important to me is that for him to make love in plain sight to whomever listened, he knew cameras were there, and he was talking directly to whomever the person he was dating. And it wasn't so much that he did this to convert them to come to the church, but he wanted to answer their questions authentically. And I was really impressed by knowing that this is something that, or someone who is willing to put that out there. And he actually touched on some mental health issues that he's had, some doubts that he had, and other people in his life that he said were important to him as he relates to them wanting to find a partner. I won't go any further into the story because I could really care less if he's married 3 or 4 times, but so long as he has God in his life. But what I will say is that he talked about life struggles and disappointments and where we need to find answers, like the lawyer asked, and know that they are very simple and plain. They're just not always easy to do. When we see love in plain sight in action, we see that with people who are struggling, people who are not always in their best moment. Some of us are so deeply flawed that it carries on with us throughout all of our lives. And yet God made each and every one of us and the others worthy of living a life. And he also made each and every one of us worthy of his love and the love he gives to us to share. And so we look at this and say, God, could I do what the Good Samaritan does? Am I capable? I'm going to say to you, and when you look in the mirror, yes, you are. Am I worthy? Yes, you are. Am I committed? God help me, I'll do my best. What I find very, very enriching in knowing the story of the Good Samaritan was he was on the outside, and the rest of the society said he was not worthy. He was not a member of society that could even lend help to somebody in despair. And he did so. And what he did to show his level of commitment was tell the innkeeper, I will come back if this person has any more needs to cover their costs. Now, I want to be very clear to each and every one here. I'm not saying go to Bombay and save everybody on the streets, okay? But what I am saying is that we have moments and we have people in our lives and we have connections with our world to make our love plain. And I'd ask you to consider using 3 steps to ensure that your journey into connection and making love plain really comes to mind. And that is, first and foremost, to listen to people. And I will say, listening, and you've probably heard a lot of this active listening, I'll say is listening without judgment. That means hearing the words, hearing what nature is telling you, hearing what young people are telling you, hearing what your soul is telling you with patience, with openness, and with sincerity. Now, that may take time for some of us. Some of us are still on that journey of being able to settle ourselves. But you are more than capable. And just one time is a step in the right direction in practicing being a excellent listener at heart. We need to understand by listening that we are connecting to people and our world, our natural world, through culture, through tradition, through different styles of worship, through dance, through history, through our struggles, our dreams, and most importantly, the desires of our heart that God implants in us. We want to be clear that God wants all of us to not be the us and them, but be together. My second point is step is to affirm. We affirm one another once we listen and hear what makes us who we are. We are flawed human beings, but we are great human beings that God created. We are part of a great creation that goes through so many different changes that we are concerned if it will even be able to sustain us. But it's a great creation that God put before us. So as we look to affirm people through their struggles, be it mental, spiritual, being in war, violence, divorce, drug addiction, slavery, all the different things that can tear us apart, we can affirm to them that is not the pursuit of the American dream, but is the pursuit that God had for us with the resurrection from the cross, that he gave his only son to demonstrate to us the depth and the commitment of his love. And last, where I go back to talking about Ben Higgins is to share. If we listen and we affirm, please share your sustenance, whether that is monetary gifts or your time, your wisdom, your experience, your joys, your concerns, your tribulations and celebrations. I always want to say that your celebrations matter as much as sharing your troubles with people. Because believe it or not, when you share those, people who you see directly and indirectly, there's a world listening and watching you. I work during the week with high school students getting their first job. And I got to tell you, sometimes they really struggle with just wanting to ask me, where's my check? I had a young man come in the other day and he stumbled and bumbled. He acted like he was 70 years old, rubbing his knees because he was so afraid to talk to me. And I said, Alex, I believe you want your check. He's like, yes, I do. I said, Alex, I want you to listen and not just follow my example, because I don't know what it's, I know what it's like to be 16 years old, but I've erased those memories long, long time ago. But I have other youth leaders who you can follow who can model that for you. And he says, yeah, I watch them. He says, I want to be like them. And so I'm sharing with each one of you. I don't want to say I'm telling you, but I'm sharing with each one of you that someone is watching you. Someone is observing you in plain sight, though you may not see it. Your example of sharing, your example of listening, your example of affirming the joy that you have along with your sorrows. But they're also watching and listening, and this is where the lawyer comes to mind in the Good Samaritan, is knowing that your example, the go and do likewise, is where God puts us. He has made it very, very clear that there will be more than enough opportunities for you to love and to share joy. But there will be more than enough opportunities for you to connect with your neighbor. And so when we come to looking at the challenge of the Good Samaritan, we can see that he really brings us to what I want to call the harmony of goodness. And that is balancing our own necessary self-care and prayer life with God to service to others. And when we imagine that those two combinations come together under the guidance of our Lord and Father God, we do make love visible, love plain, and love real. And as Jesus said to the lawyer, I say to you, go and do likewise. Amen.